Someone You Should Know, Part 7. Jephthah. A Man of Misguided Sincerity. Jephthah. Misguided Sincerity. Judges chapter 11. You'll find this person we should know. Jephthah. He's a man of misguided sincerity. Judges chapter 11. Someone you should know. Jephthah. Misguided sincerity. Around verse 29 and the following verses, read them more detailed. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Verse 30, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, if you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns. Verse 34, when Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of tambourines? She was an only child, except for her. He had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, oh, my daughter, you have made me miserable and wretched because I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break. My father, she replied, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites, but grant me this one request, she said. Give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends because I will never marry. You may go, he said. And he let her go for 2 months. She and the girls went into the hills and wept because she would never marry. After 2 months, she returned to her father. And he did to her as he had vowed. And she was a virgin. Misguided sincerity. Tonight, I want to conclude this 7-part series, Someone You Should Know. We've profiled the personalities and contributions of 9 persons whose names don't make center stage or get prominent print in the normal course of Bible study. Those 9 persons have been Gaius and Diotrephes and Demetrius in 3rd John, Ehud of Judges 3, Aquila and Priscilla, that power couple in Acts and 1 Corinthians, Vashti in the book of Esther, Onesiphorus in Ephesians, and last week Demas in 2 Timothy. Some of those persons are good, some of them are bad. But all of them are worth our knowing. If they were good, then, of course, we can emulate some of their characteristics and contributions. But if they were evil, then we can avoid them. Notice that good and bad both appear with a purpose. And what is that purpose? Always 2 Timothy 3 and 17 keeps us balanced. That the person of God, each saint that is, may be complete and thoroughly equipped, spiritually skilled, prepared and productive, and able to accomplish every good work that God desires. Can I tell you tonight that this word, this lifeline teaching, your Sunday school teaching, your Bible study teaching, Sunday morning preaching, it should never go in one ear and out the other, as the old folk used to say. But this word should work itself around in our heads, then down into our hearts, and come out through our lips and lives. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord gave a pop quiz and asked you one thing you discovered about his will since Sunday, would you get a passing grade? Something to think about, isn't it? Because this word works if you work it. So I want to continue to appeal to us. Let's take it in and then put it out. Take it in and put it out. Because we cannot keep taking it in and never put it out. Our life is the proof of our intake. So much for that. Let's look at this last biblical personality during this series. Jephthah. He's a judge in Israel, as was Ehud in Judges 3. Both of them were from that period in history where the Lord gave his people both men and women as deliverers, administrators, conquerors on the field of battle, and leading voices in their time of despair. Did you hear me? I said the Lord gave the people both men and women. Jephthah, his name means the Lord will open. So Jephthah made the Lord a promise. If you give the victory to me over the enemy, then whatever comes first out of my house to meet me when I return from the battle, I will dedicate it to you, and I will offer it as a burnt sacrifice. Now, never in a million years did Jephthah expect his only daughter, his only child, to be the first through the door. By his saying, whatever first comes out to meet me, indicates that he clearly thought it would be an animal, because in those days, some animals lived inside the dwelling with the people. However, when he saw it was his daughter, Jephthah loses it. He breaks down. And check this out. He blames his daughter for putting him in this cumbersome position. She's celebrating. She's dancing because victory is in the air. She has no idea what he has promised God. And so he says to her, daughter, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back on my word. Now, unknowing to her the context of his statement, his only child, his only daughter, replies, well, Papa, do what you promised the Lord you would do. And since he kept his promise to you, you keep your word to him. And so, as the narrative indicates, she requests, when she finds out, she asks him, let me go for 2 months into the mountains with my girlfriends and let us mourn that I'm going to be a virgin for the rest of my life. And the record is she did this. And since then, that whole tradition in Israel has become a standard that the girls mourn the daughter of Jephthah, all because of the vows her father had made. What's the take home from this Jephthah lesson? I think you hear it loud and clear, don't you? Jephthah is a man, a person we should know because of his misguided sincerity. Here's the first point. Even a spirit-led person can make the wrong decision. Hallelujah. Now, it was common in the Old Testament for the phrase to appear, the Spirit of the Lord came upon so-and-so. But even after that, it did not assure that person automatic victory. Because when the Spirit comes upon a person, it must be embodied with cooperation and faithfulness if success and deliverance is to be effected. Jephthah was used of the Spirit, but in this case, his vow, his promise, his oath was not Spirit guided. He was not faithful. He made a rash vow. Jephthah desired to bind God rather than embrace the gift of the Spirit. Sometimes, hear me good tonight, in our quest to be spiritual and sincere, we end up being sincerely wrong. Uh-oh, did you really say that, Pastor Craig Melvin Smith? Yes, I did. Sometimes in our quest to be spiritual and sincere, we end up being sincerely wrong. A vow is voluntary. A person never has to make one. But once it is uttered, the Lord considers it sacred and binding. If we're not really sure what we want to do in a situation, if we are not absolutely certain this is what we are led to do, we had better not promise it. Jephthah believed that if he went beyond the required, the Lord would deal more favorably with his request. Can I ask us a question? Is the Lord any greater inclined to answer a personal request favorably because we add extra whipped cream and butter it up? God did not ask Jephthah to promise any of what he did. And maybe it's a good time to remind us saints to think carefully and pray fervently before we speak. Can I say that again? Think carefully. Pray fervently before we speak. Because spirit-led does not mean perfect, but it does mean patient. Patient does not necessarily mean slow, but it does all the time mean certain. Even a spirit-led person can make the wrong decision. Here's a second take from this man we should know. One's desperation to please God should never bring harm to others. His daughter has to live out her days without bearing children. She goes into perpetual virginity. Now, that's the sacrifice she made to honor and to comply with her father's quick promise to God. Now, he did not offer her as a burnt offering, but for her to not have children was a sacrifice in and of itself. Not her choice, but his desperation. Jephthah went too far. Jephthah went beyond what was needed. He meant well, but he didn't do well. What road is that which is paved with good intentions? Please, let us not impose our feelings, though they be well intended, upon others especially when we are not certain of the outcome? How many innocent people have been damaged because of our desperation? We cannot earn brownie points with God by doing something extra and engaging other people without their pleasure or permission? Because, in a manner of speaking, it's your signature on your contract between you and God, not that of unknown parties you throw in to up your credit score. Let's not pull others into the equation. Romans 14. Each person must give an account of himself or herself before God. So please don't put me in a position to have to answer for your stuff and vice versa. I shouldn't put you in a position to have to answer for my stuff, because it doesn't work like that. And then the third takeaway from Jephthah tonight. Faith cannot be feeling driven. Jephthah had a moment of panic. He saw the strength of the Ammonites and had heard of their renown. Was Jephthah in his feelings? I think so. All the Lord wants from us is our faith, not feelings, but faith first. Feelings feed on sight, on touch, etc. We're bombarded with so many horrifying news, social media, trash, political chicanery. Panic has a way of knocking at all of our doors. So Jeff is not alone. But what we learned from him tonight is this. Our faith cannot be feeling driven. We got to listen to God. We got to hear what God says. We learn later on that thy faith has made thee whole. Trusting God gives us victory. There's no substitute for trusting God's power. So much for Jephthah. We got Jesus now, a more perfect and far superior example. We got Jesus now, a voice of authority, stronger than Jephthah. So all of our desires must line up with the author and finisher of our faith, and that's Jesus, the anointed Christ, our Lord. So, Jephthah is a person we should know because of his misguided sincerity. But isn't it good to celebrate that in the midst of every situation, we got a greater than Jephthah, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And thus ends our lesson and our teaching for tonight. Blessings upon each of you.